Greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a correction to the title. It's my fault because they printed in the card the word blasphemous instead of blasphemers. Blasphemous is an adjective. Blasphemers are the people who blaspheme. Both words are found in the scriptures. Blasphemous, you find that word used in Acts 6, verse 11 and verse 13, describing blasphemous words. So it's an adjective describing words that are blasphemous. Although both of them come from the same root word, which literally means to injure by words, by things that are not true. To injure by words that are not true. And this word is used primarily against God, against religious things. If it's against a person, it is seldom used. Another word is used, you will be called a slandering. But with reference to things that are spiritual, places that are spiritual, against God, blasphemers. Now, one thing we have to bear in mind when we look at 2 Timothy 3 is not to be too detached from what we read. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What it means is that men shall be blasphemers, men shall be covetous, men shall be boasters, proud, men shall be disobedient to parents, and so on. Please do not read this passage so detached as if it is not referring to yourself. But for the grace and mercies of God, we would belong to this category. Please do not think that these are the sins that are beyond us. That these are sins that we have never committed and will never commit. By God's grace, hopefully we'll never commit these sins because we are born again. But if you continue to commit some of these sins, please check your salvation. Now, pertaining to the word blasphemers, and in this context, very much likely it is against God Himself, against the Lord Jesus Christ, blasphemers. Because when we study the book of Revelation, we'll realize that despite all the miracles that God will pour down upon this world in terms of the wrath of God, the people will not turn to God. They will still cling on to their idols. They will want to curse God. Blasphemers are people who would abuse God's name, abuse the character of God, make light of God. People, for example, who will use the name of Christ flippantly. And I was told that in some countries, the name of Christ is used as a swear word, as a word which is equivalent to nonsense. So when you talk to people and you tell them things that are nonsensical, they will simply reply and say to you, "Please don't talk to me about Jesus." And they will use His name in vain in that light. That is blaspheming God. He would be therefore called a blasphemer. People who worship idols and say that this is God, this is the one living and true God. You may be an idolater, but when you reduce God Almighty to some kind of an object or an animal, that will make you a blasphemer. And I believe all of us have been blaspheming God at one point in our lives in the past. We have been a blasphemer before. By the way that we live, by the way that we reduce God into our own image, into some kind of things that we can handle and touch. And we have also blasphemed God with our words, when we curse Him, when we blame Him for things that we do not like that come our way, that come into our lives. And so it is not something that we must take lightly, because all of us had been in that state before. Out of all this long list of sin, I'm sure you can identify yourself with many sins, and some of these are against only people. But this particular sin, this particular word, primarily it is used against God Himself. And that makes it even more serious. But how do we get ourselves out of this? There is a testimony of a self-confessed blasphemer that you find in scriptures. And he considered himself delivered from this terrible state. And we're going to look at his life to see how we too can be, if some of us are still blaspheming God today. And see if we have been now delivered from this terrible sin, that this was how we have been delivered. from the testimony of this individual. We can also see in our own lives how we, if we can participate and share with his testimony, would be the same journey that he had to endure, had to go through, to be delivered from this terrible sin that he had committed against God. It's one thing to slander a human being, but to blaspheme God himself, to blaspheme Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. How do we get ourselves out of that sin? Where do we go to find and ask him, please forgive me? How do we find him? What do we bring before him in order for us to receive forgiveness for blaspheming him? If I hurt you, if I slander your name, what is the price? What is the cost that I must pay in order to bring your name up back to its original state before I slander you? But with God, what can we give to him? He's the creator of the world. He owns the whole world. And yet this man said, God had forgiven him. Who was this individual? I'm sure you know by now that individual is none other than the author of 2 Timothy. But we're not going to look at 2 Timothy, we're going to look at 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 to verse 17 will be our consideration, where you find Paul calling himself a blasphemer. The same word that is used in 2 Timothy is also used in 1 Timothy here. You see the word blasphemer in verse 13? Who was before a blasphemer? Same word. He is a self-confessed blasphemer. So what exactly did he do that he would call himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? Three very, very terrible, terrible sins that he had committed when he was an unbeliever. Persecutor, he will search out Christians and he will persecute them. And not only will he persecute them, he will go out of his way to injure them as well. And these are his words again in Acts. Please look at Acts 26. Okay, where you're going to have his own confession for our definition of the word blasphemer. Not only that, it resulted in him being a persecutor and he was also injurious. Acts 26, verse 9. This was his testimony before King Agrippa. Very soon he would be sent to Rome as a prisoner. Now he took every opportunity to testify of what he was like and what he is today, or what he was today standing before King Agrippa after he had been converted. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So he was very sincere when he was blaspheming God, when he was a persecutor, when he was being very injurious. Sincerity is not the issue. As far as God is concerned, as far as all of us are concerned, you must be very truthful with yourself. We must be very, very true and correct and righteous in our sincerity. Because if we do what is right and not sincere, we are hypocrites. But everything that we do that is right and acceptable, that is true and that is righteous, must come from a sincere heart. And so he testified that I very, verily, sincerely thought that what I was doing to the Lord Jesus Christ and all his disciples was correct. And he said, I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to tell us in verse 10 and verse 11 the details, or some of the details of what he did. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, okay, in the city, in the capital itself. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison. He arrested many Christians and he put them in prison. Having received authority from the chief priest, he was a very important man with a lot of power and authority. And therefore the chief priest would have known of his life as an unbeliever. Sincerely arresting Christians, putting them into prison. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I consented and I agreed. Please put this person to death. He may not be holding the stones to stone Christians, to stone people like Stephen. But he gave permission, he gave assent. He agreed that they must be killed. Is that not the same as casting the stones yourself? David gave a permission, or instead commanded Joab to kill Uriah. He may not be the one who killed him, But God held him accountable for sending him into his death. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. So he did not stop in Jerusalem. He went out of his way to search them out and compel them to blaspheme. And so when I arrested them, I wanted them to recant and say that Jesus Christ is not the Savior, or else you die. And so I compelled them to also blaspheme, even as I was blaspheming, albeit I did not know, I did not do it on purpose. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I went out of my way beyond my own cities in order to get them. That was how I was so consumed by my hatred for the followers of Christ and this person called Jesus of Nazareth. And so, how do you describe a blasphemer? Someone who make fun of the name of Christ, who taunt and abuse the name of Christ. That makes all of us guilty, in other words. And I'm sure all of us have used the name of Christ in one way or another when we were unbelievers. We slighted His name. And we do not give to Him what is His due as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we reduce Him to just like any other name. No better than our own name. That's a blasphemer. And how did Paul got himself out of it? Verse 12. We see the first consideration. The first step. He acknowledged he does not deserve it. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful. How did he get himself out of his sin of blasphemy? When he was a blasphemer and God translated him and turned him into a saint? The first step, he himself acknowledged that God himself did everything. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. In other words, God was the one who saved me. And not only did he save me, he counted me faithful. He considered me faithful even though I have not been faithful. And you and I know what faithfulness means, and we all have experienced how unfaithful we have been to God. No one of us, none of us can ever dare that we have been faithful all the time. All of us have to confess that we have been unfaithful many, many times over. We have failed the Lord so many times. We have sinned against Him so many times. We have spoken a word out of turn so many times. And He acknowledged and understood that I do not deserve any of God's goodness. He counted me faithful even though I have been unfaithful. Not only to save me, but that He also put me into the ministry. All that I have and all that I am comes from God Almighty. I am not worthy of the slightest little bit of God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy. What I deserve is God's condemnation, judgment, and to be sent to hell. He understood this very, very well. Why do you think the Apostle Paul gave up everything, all the accolades that he once enjoyed, the power that he had with all the important people, whereby he can set foot in anybody's home and to do whatever he likes, with absolute power, with that official credential that he had received from the high priest? He could enter into any home in any city and arrest the followers of Christ. He gave all this up. And all the accolades of the world that he had, he considered them as dung. And now he will devote every ounce of his strength and energy and everything that he had for one cause: to promote this Jesus Christ whom he used to blaspheme. And he never considered it and anything else that God counted me faithful. I'm not worthy. But it is all because of what God has counted me faithful. And God is the one who has enabled me, strengthened me, allowed me to do this. How do you look at your ministry and your walk with the Lord? See, sometimes when we are walking with the Lord for a number of years, it's so easy to become complacent, and we allow our so-called successes to go to our head. And we think that we have done it our way. We think that it's because of my own strength and energy and my perseverance and the hard work and the diligence and the gifts that I have that enable me to have success in the things that I do. forgetting that it is always God who has enabled us. It is God who has counted me faithful, although many times we have been unfaithful. And God is the one who has put us into the ministry. Not that we chose the ministry, He put us there. That's how Paul looked at himself, that's how he looked at his mission work, that's how he looked at his entire life after he was born again. Because he realized that he was a blasphemer, because that's how he acknowledged. Who was before a blasphemer? Because he saw himself as such an evil man. And now that God has turned him around, not only turned him around, but gave him so much whereby he can now serve God. The God whom I have cursed, the God whom I have blasphemed, the Son of God whom I have hurt so much. And now that God has not only saved me, but He has given me everything that is so worthwhile, that is so eternal. That's why His ministry, He never took for granted. He was given so much by God to do so much for His glory. Despite this, do you know that God had to keep him humble by a thorn on his side? Just to keep him humble, to make sure that he will always lean on Christ and never lean on himself. When you mature in the faith, complacency naturally will set in because you get so used to Christianity, so used to what you are doing when you serve God. And sometimes you forget. You have forgotten what it was like in those beginning years. The early days when you first came to know Christ. While everything was so fresh, so new, so wonderful, and you were so grateful to God for all that He has blessed you with. And now that you have been in the ministry for 10, 20, 30 years perhaps, you become very complacent. You become less careful in your preparation to be a Sunday school teacher. You become less concerned with what you do now. It's just routine. Never reduce your ministry to a routine. The Sunday school children who comes into your class for you to teach perhaps the same subjects, the same lessons from the Bible, to you it may be the same. You may have been teaching it for the past 10 years. It may be something that you're so familiar with. You stop praying. It's come so natural. You don't even have a second thought about it. You just come into the class and you just simply spill out the same lesson that you have been teaching for the past 10 years, having forgotten that these children are listening to the truth for the first time. And you have failed them and you have failed the Lord by your complacency, by your lack of prayer and your lack of trust. And you have forgotten that God has counted you faithful. You have not been faithful. We have all not been faithful. But God continues to count us faithful. That's why He continues to give us the ministry. A person who realized that he had been a blasphemer, he had been delivered from such a great sin and a great condemnation, will be eternally grateful. More likely, we don't realize and acknowledge that we are terrible sinners. Perhaps we felt that we are not that bad sinners. I mean, I'm not a criminal. I've not committed a terrible, terrible crime. When we do not think ourselves as blasphemers, when we think that we are not so bad, He is the blasphemer, not me. Our love and our devotion and our service for God will be lukewarm. Because God did not deliver me from a terrible state of sin. I'm not that terrible a sinner. That's why our love for Him is not that great. It is a little lukewarm. It's very cold at times. And that's why perhaps you look at our Christian faith and our walk with the Lord as something that is humdrum. It is something that is, by the way, like an appendix in my life. When I have time, I will do something for Christ. If I don't have time, it's okay, never mind. God will understand. To the Apostle Paul, because he knew he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, and he was an injurious person, the moment he has been delivered, he considered everything that he had from God from that day onwards as an honor and a privilege that he must never, never, never come under the punishment of God ever again. He will never fail the Lord again. He will now change his entire zeal and effort and his consuming desire to persecute Christians. From now, he wants to consume himself with only one desire, and that is to promote Christ. Same kind of intensity. He will never want to fail the Lord again. He never want to see ourselves as blasphemer. that whatever you have to do for the Lord now, don't let it become a routine, a ritual. Because God counts you faithful. That's why He gives you the ministry. Don't ever, ever think that it's because how good you are, how clever you are. It's always by God's grace and God's mercy that God enabled us, God counted us faithful, and God now gives us the ministry, putting us in the ministry. He understood this. He was encouraging Timothy because Timothy was very discouraged. And so Paul had to share this testimony with him. Timothy, you don't be discouraged. While you are in this ministry, there will be difficulties, there will be problems, there will be even nightmares. But you don't fail the Lord. It is an honor always to serve God, to fight God's battle, to defend God's word, to defend the testimony of Christ. It is the greatest privilege and honor that God could ever give to us. We were all blasphemers upon a time, not even worthy to do anything for God because we blaspheme Him, and now He counted you faithful to do this ministry. Whatever the ministry might be, you give it your very best. That's the least that you can do. The least. Simple little things. In our church, we have Lord's Supper little glasses. They have to wash hundreds of them once a month. Do it the very best of your ability. Please clean the cups well to the best of your ability. Don't do it anyhow, even though it may not be seen by man, it is seen by God Almighty. He has put you in the ministry. He has counted you faithful to do this little task. If you cannot be faithful in little, you cannot be faithful in much. Because if you don't do a good job, do you know what happens? When the cups still have lipstick stain, and then the pastors, elders, and deacons carry the cup around, and then all of them have lipstick stain. You're going to take? Are you going to take? Everybody will avoid. Then what will happen? Disaster, is it? Not enough cups? Then left behind all these with lipstick stain. Simple thing like this can cause a big problem. Isn't that true? Clean everything. Do whatever God gives you to do, do it properly, remembering He counted us faithful. That's why we are in the ministry. So while you're in the ministry, whatever it is, don't murmur, don't complain, why me, Lord, I'm tired. I want to change. You have forgotten that we were blasphemers, deserving only hell and punishment. And so whatever God has now entrusted you to do, you give your best. He has counted you faithful. And then the next consideration, Paul says, obtain mercy. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but now I have obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He understood, I deserve death, I deserve punishment, but thanks be to God, I have obtained mercy from God, and every moment of your waking hours is because of God's mercy. Is that not true? When we pray for the Far Eastern Bible College, do you know how we pray? We know that the college deserved to be destroyed because we have not been faithful as we ought to. We failed the Lord many times. Many times. That's why we only pray for God's mercy. For Jesus' sake, please, Lord, spare the college. Not for our sake. We don't deserve it. We deserve punishment from Him, all of us. Because no matter how we try, we can never be faithful 100%. Only God can. That's why whenever we pray, we ask, never from a position as if we deserve anything from God. We only deserve punishment. Whenever we ask for God's blessing and God's help, it is always from a position of humility as an undeserving sinner saved by grace. That's why obtain mercy. Mercy. He deserved punishment. Although he did it ignorantly, he knew that it was still transgression, he knew that it was still sin. Because Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he was well versed in the scriptures. You study the book of Leviticus and you realize that just because you sin ignorantly does not mean that it is not sin. You have the word of God, you don't read the word of God, you don't study the word of God, and you commit sin, it is still a sin because they have provisions for the kind of offerings that you must bring before God for the sin called the sin of ignorance. He understood this. He might say, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That is not meant to reduce the gravity of his sin.
He acknowledged that it was still sin. That's why he used the word, I obtain mercy. After all that I have done against Christ, after all that I have done against Christ's followers, the Christians, how I had injured them, persecuted them, how I had given the approval to put them to death. What I deserve from God is only death, myself is only punishment. But he did not kill me. He saved me instead. He delivered me out of the sin of blasphemy, of persecuting Christians, of injuring Christians. He saved me, and not only he saved me, he used me for his service. He gave me this privilege and honor to serve him as an apostle. And that's what he must remind Timothy. Timothy, you are now the pastor of the church of Ephesus that God used the Apostle Paul to found in his second mission trip. And he was facing a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And so Paul had to remind young Timothy, you don't let go the handle on the plow that God has put you onto. Don't let go of it. Don't allow any trials that you are facing right now to cause you to lose your focus. That the ministry that you have received from the Lord is because God has counted you faithful, whereby all of us deserve punishment, now we have obtained mercy where we are still alive. We are still in health and strength to serve the Lord with whatever days and energy that we have left to serve Him. And that's what we, who were once blasphemer, must always remember. He did not stop there. Look at verse 14 and 15. Not only did he obtain mercy, now he says, I obtain grace. And also grace, you see? And the grace. All the benefits and blessings, it's only by God's grace. He does not deserve anything but punishment. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. It was so amazing. Now, he was not talking about money. When he wrote this, he was in prison, by the way. Okay? When you talk about the exceeding abundant grace with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, he was talking about spiritual. The peace that he had in his heart. The opportunities that he could even witness to his soldiers. To the soldiers who incarcerated him. He was a prisoner. As far as he was concerned, every place where the Lord would place him in, as long as there is breath in his body, he will tell people about Jesus. And he did. And that's the exceeding abundant grace that he was referring to. Not dollars and cents, not money. We are so foolish to think that God's blessing comes in terms of silver and gold. We are foolish. We are shortchanging ourselves, as it were, to ask for only material things. When God wants to bless us eternal things with eternal wealth, He was referring to the exceeding abundant grace with reference to faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, the faith that He continues to hold dear to. And the love that he continued to feel in his heart, despite the persecution that he had to endure, the love of God in his heart, the love that he knew that God has for him, never changes, never diminishes, even though the circumstances were so difficult, so painful, so unreasonable, so unjust. He never murmured and complained, because I have been a blasphemer. To be persecuted for Christ is now a privilege and an honor. All that I have done against Christ when I was an unbeliever. And now I'm being persecuted for Christ because I preach Christ. They want to put me in prison. So be it. I deserve more than what I am going through right now for all the sins that I have committed. And so he considered it as God's grace. I have obtained mercy. I have obtained grace. And then he acknowledged, this is a faithful saying. It's always true. It never lies. It contains no lie. It is a faithful saying. And worthy of everybody's acceptation. Everybody must accept this. And what exactly is this saying? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this must be the saying of every sinner, every one of us. If you and I do not consider ourselves as chief of sinners, our love for Christ will not be chief. Our love for Christ will not be an all-consuming love and desire. Our devotion to Him will not be chief. Our service to Him will not be our very best. If you do not see yourself as a chief of sinner, we must see ourselves as a chief of sinner, because all of us have been blasphemers. Maybe different from what the Apostle Paul did. But we are all chief. We all therefore deserve the greatest punishment from God. All of us without exception. We may not be criminals, but we are just as great sinners as the worst criminal in prison. Please do not see yourself as less of a sinner than your neighbor. And that is our problem, isn't it? Because that has been our perspective for so long. And we look at one another and we start to compare one another. I'm not so bad. I'm not so bad a sinner. I'm not so bad a Christian. I'm not so bad a saint. That's our problem. And therefore, because of this relativity, this kind of relative comparison, our service is humdrum and our devotion and our love for God is also humdrum. And so when we read of the life of the Apostle Paul, we feel so detached. When we read about the sins of the last days, the perilous times, we are also detached. We must identify ourselves with that list, because if not for the grace and the mercies of God, we will all end up like that. We will all belong to that group. Please don't think that there is a description of some kind of people from another different planet. It's a description of all of us if we are not children of God, if we are not born again. And when you look at your own life, look at the past. We have been blasphemers before, have we not? All of us, without exception. And that's why we have also, like the Apostle Paul, been counted faithful by God to serve Him, to even give of our tithe and offering. Counted faithful. We are not faithful, but He considered us as faithful. Because faithful is an absolute term. More often than not, percentage-wise, we have been more unfaithful than faithful. And then it is only by God's mercy, obtained mercy. And then we obtain God's grace. All the blessings that you enjoy, all the gifts that you enjoy from the Lord to serve Him, to do wonderful things for Him and for the saints. Obtain mercy and obtain grace.
And He added, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's His testimony. And that's how we realize the grace. To know that we are all chief of sinners, and it's only through Jesus Christ who saved us. And that is the grace and the mercy that we have. And that is the start, that is the beginning, how blasphemers are now turned into saints. And how be it for this cause, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. And Paul testified, if God could save a blasphemer like me, that's why he says, I'm a pattern. If God could save a blasphemer like me, God could save anyone. If God could give a ministry to a blasphemer like me, if God could ever count faithful a blasphemer like me, God could count you faithful too. God could also save you too. And God could also give you any ministry for His service, for His glory. Verse 16 is the pattern, the example. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at his life. And that's what Paul wanted Timothy to realize. Don't give up, Timothy. If God could do so much with such great a blasphemer like me, God can do the same for you, if not more. Serve Him, love Him. We all have been blasphemers. We all had done great deeds against the Lord. Once upon a time, we cursed God. We abused the name of Christ. Now the Apostle Paul concludes by telling us in verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And what do you want to give to Him? Honor and glory. For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. From a blasphemer, obtained grace, obtained mercy, counted faithful, now what comes out of his heart and from his mouth? Only praise. From blasphemous words in the past to words of praise. One, hell, the other, heaven. That's why he deliberately inserted these words right in the midst of his encouragement to young Timothy. We were all blasphemers. What came out of our mouth was to curse God. Now that we are saints, now that we are servants, let us praise Him. King eternal. He is King. He is eternal. He is immortal. He is invisible. He is the only wise God. Look at Him. What He has done for sinners such as ourselves. Let all honor, all glory be to Him. Let us not rob God of His honor and glory even as we serve Him. Let us, as we relate to one another, always think of Jesus Christ. Let us swallow our pride. Let us realize the great work that God has done in your life and in my life as chief of sinners, blasphemers. And we have been delivered. And God has seen fit to use us, counted us faithful when we have been unfaithful, given us mercy when we deserve judgment. We do not deserve any of His grace, but He has given us grace as well. And so whatever you lay hands to do, give your very best to Him. And let the name of Christ be highly exalted, and let us all diminish. Let us put aside our pride and learn to forgive one another, love one another, and serve the Lord with joy, with gladness. And the church will be transformed. Your families will be transformed. Your workplace will be transformed. Everything you touch will be transformed when you realize the great work of salvation that God has done for you and the great ministries that He has allowed you to do as now no more a blasphemer, but as a saint, as a child of God, all because of His grace, all because of His mercy. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. For as we look back on our own lives, we have been blasphemers. In one way or another, we have mocked and made fun of the name of Christ. We have mocked and made fun of the name of God. O Lord, forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to recall the life of the great Apostle Paul, how he was a blasphemer, how he had considered himself a chief sinner, and how we need to realize that we are all sinners, chief sinners who have committed the great sin against Thee. And it is only by Your grace and Your mercies that we have obtained from Thee, and how You have counted us faithful, that we have been delivered and saved from the bondage of sin through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For truly, it is by Your grace and Your mercies that we are not consumed. Help us therefore, O Lord, to realize that this life that You have given to us, a life of service, may truly be a life that will be a blessing to others. That others, when they see our lives, they might see Christ through our good works and glorify our Father who art in heaven. O Lord, send us forth to do Thy bidding, that we may realize the great honor and privilege Thou hast bestowed upon us, from transforming us from being blasphemers into saints, where now we can honor Thee, we can glorify Thee, we can praise Thee truly. For Thou art the King eternal, invisible, immortal, the God only wise. May Thou be gracious and merciful to receive our praises, O Lord, for Thou art truly worthy. O Lord, we thank Thee so much from the depths of our heart for all that You have done for us. May we be found faithful even unto the very end of our days. For Jesus' sake, hear our humble cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.